light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in. And we think it's really cool because Jesus comes across people that are full of themselves. And through his stories and through just his conversation with other peoples, he quickly puts them in their place. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about a situation where people had brought a lady before Jesus and they were trying to set a trap, basically, for him. And at the same time as they're setting a trap, they're thoroughly embarrassing this woman. And so what ends up happening is Jesus ends up setting the entire crowd in their place, and they have nothing to say, and so they go off and they leave this woman, and Jesus basically tells her, your sins have been forgiven, because there's no accusers here to cast the stone at you. Beautiful story of how Christ came to people in the margins. Today, we want to talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan. The title of my message is, and along came a, and you got to fill in the blank, because there's actually several people that stop by in this story. But what's interesting is, once again, someone's trying to set up a little trap. They're doing a little test for Jesus, and they want to see what his response is going to be. So our passage comes from Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read a little bit at a time because I want you to get the full story. And as we go along, we're going to grab little tidbits out of this that God has for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that you don't just give us your word and expect us just to figure stuff out on our own, Father. But you've given us your Holy Spirit to help us to understand these things, to help us make sense of all these things. And so we thank you, God, for your attention to detail in our lives. Thank you so much for loving us and caring for us, God. As we look at this passage, just open our eyes. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let me start reading Luke 10, starting with verse 25. It says, one day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it, or how do you interpret it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. I want to kind of stop right there because this guy knew the answer that Jesus was looking for. He summarized, as the scripture said, he summarized the whole of God's law to us, God's command to us, in these two things. And so, obviously, Jesus agrees with him. He says, right, do this, and you will live. And so this brings us to our first point. This religious man, he knew what he was talking about. But I would say to you this morning, it's not enough just to know. It's not enough just to know. You could know something, and just the knowledge is not going to help you, or is not going to help those around you. Let me give you an example. When I was in college, I think it was my freshman year, and I don't know how I ended up in this class for whatever reason, but we were doing a CPR class. And they were teaching us CPR, and they were telling us procedures, and they were talking to us about it. And then we actually got to act out this on dummies. Not like fellow classmates, but actual dummies, okay? So they have this guy that's just like a head and torso, and we had to, and so at that point it kind of got silly, because we were freshmen in college, and we were just like, you know, I'm not going to kiss that guy that's laying there on the table, and so we kind of got a little bit goofy, but the fact is, we had to actually go through the motions, or the things that we've been learning, the things that our lecturer had been telling us, would have been totally useless if we hadn't actually put it into practice. Now, I'm not saying that I remember a whole lot about CPR, but I do remember the fact that all my classmates are staring at me while I'm trying to do exactly what the instructor had said I was supposed to do. The fact is, you could know as much as you could possibly know about how to resuscitate a person, but until you've actually practiced that, until maybe the first time you've actually experienced it, you really are not going to know what you're doing. The fact is, so many times in life, we think if we just got it up here, if we just got what we need here, then that's all we need. But it has to go from knowledge into action, and we're going to discover that as we look a little more. There's a verse in Matthew, or a couple verses in Matthew chapter 15. And here's a description. Once again, here's Jesus describing the people that thought they knew everything. These are the people that would say, you know, oh, I know all about what God says about that. I know that. And Jesus says this, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. And then in James chapter 4, James really breaks it down. Check out what James says. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not to do it. Did you hear that? It's a sin to know what to do that's right, but refuse to do it or not to do it. Man, we've entered a whole new realm because so many times in our own minds, we think of a sin or an act that's wrong or dishonoring to God. We think of that as something that you actually go out and do. We even use the word commit because we want to put action to it. But what is God saying here? God is saying that you can actually do something that's offensive to God by simply not doing the things that God wants us to do, the things that are right. It's not enough just to know. We actually have to put action to it. Let's look again at the passage. Luke chapter 10, look from verse 29. So Jesus has just told this man, hey, you summarized exactly what I'm talking about, the law of God. Okay, you're right. Verse 29, the man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Okay, now here's a guy, by the way, he's the first person to mention neighbor in this conversation. He says, you've got to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, that's right. And so he's like, okay, I'm going to take this a little bit further and really get Jesus on this one. Who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story, a parable. He says, a Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. Verse 32, a temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. We're going to stop right there because I want to tell you a little bit about, and maybe you already know a little bit about the relationship between the Jewish people and the Samaritans, but basically they hated each other. The Samaritans were the people that had gone off, and they were Jewish people that had married other people, and so they were like half-breeds, and so they really had hard feelings towards the Samaritan people, the Jewish people did. Matter of fact, they pretty much just hated them. They didn't even want to be on the same road with them. They wouldn't look their way if a Samaritan was walking by. There's a couple places in the Bible where you read where someone actually went around an area, went way out of their way, just so they wouldn't travel through a place where the Samaritans live. They hated these people. And I think it is so ironic that Jesus, in his story, describes this man who was beat up and left there on the side of the road, desperately in need of help. And who's the first person that comes by? A priest. A Jewish religious man, the guy with the knowledge, he passes by, he sees the guy, but he just kind of moves to the other side of the road and keeps going. Then along comes another guy who's a temple assistant, in other words, someone who works there at the temple, who has a position or a job there, a Levite, it says. This guy comes along, and he has the same reaction. He sees this guy hurt and bleeding, and he just kind of goes to the other side of the road and keeps going. I'm sure these guys were thinking, there's no one else around. No one's going to know if I just keep going. Besides, I've got so much to do. I have such an incredibly busy day. I want to tell you a story because I think it was like my freshman or sophomore year of college. I'm driving along. I don't remember where I was going, but I remember the fact that I didn't have very much money. And so every penny that I had, I wanted to hold on to. Matter of fact, my mom used to send me these care packages. And in these packages, she would give me a bunch of quarters. And I'd be so excited because I would take those quarters and I could actually do laundry. And I would stop having to wear the same clothes unwashed. So whenever I got money, I was excited and I was thrilled. And I had it figured out that if I had $2.79, that I could actually go down to Rally's and I could order a meal, a combo meal. And that was exciting for me. That doesn't seem very exciting to you. But for me, a college student away from home with no money, I mean, scraping quarters together just so that I could have some clean clothes, here I am and I was headed to Rally's with my 279, and I was going to get that Rally burger. So I stop at this stoplight, and I hate stoplights, okay? I know they keep people from dying and everything, but I can't stand stoplights. Because you pull up to a stoplight, and there might be no one else around on any street, and it's red. And okay, that's okay. It's red, but as soon as you pull up and there's no one else at any other lanes, it should turn green. No, it doesn't. And I don't understand that. And so I'm sitting here at the stoplight, and the light's red. And I'm just kind of looking around, and I see a guy pretty close to my age. He's standing on the side there, and he has a sign that says, you know, please help, I need food or something. And so I try not to have eye contact, because all of a sudden the 279 in my pocket starts getting really heavy. And so I'm like, red, like, come on, green, you know. And so I actually, no lie, I actually start praying that the light would turn green. That is pretty selfish. But it's not. It's staying red. And so I don't know how long I was there. I want to say I was there like a half an hour. I could have walked. I could have got out of my car and walked down to Rally's and came back. So I'm sitting there, and the light will not change. And this guy's just standing there. He hasn't said anything to me, but we've made eye contact at some point during this long time. And so finally I'm like, okay, I get it, God. You want me to do something for this guy. And so I reach into my pocket, and I grab my 279, and I give it to the guy, and I'm like, you know, God bless you, man. And then the light turns green. God says, you're free to go. You know, here's the thing. These guys walked by this guy that was hurt on the road, and maybe they felt a little twinge. Maybe they felt a little bit of compassion for him. Maybe they felt, you know, oh, man, that's rough. That's a tough situation. But I just don't have time to deal with it, and they just kept going. The fact is, and here's my next point, it's not enough just to feel. It's not enough just to experience that feeling, because sometimes we can actually think that we're pretty good if we just have the right feeling. You know what I mean? If we look at a situation and we identify that as being something wrong that's happening and we get upset about it, sometimes we feel pretty good about ourselves. Yeah, I recognize that that's wrong and I'm upset about that. But it's not enough to just feel. I can't even count the number of times that I've seen someone that has needs and needs that I could probably meet at that moment. And maybe I just passed by, but as I'm passing by, I have that feeling like, man, that person really, I recognize that person really does have needs, but it's not enough just to feel. Look at this verse in James chapter 2. I love the way this is worded. James chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. I can't even imagine just rolling down my window and telling someone, hey, you stay warm. Well, you don't really have to say that in Imperial Valley. But during the dead of winter, right? Just rolling down the window and saying, hey, stay warm and get lots to eat and just keep going. That's what this verse is talking about. Identifying that someone has a need, having that feeling, but then just going on with your life like it's no big deal. It's not enough just to feel. Let's look back at our passage. Looking down at verse 34. Remember, the despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he had compassion on him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these three, this is Jesus, just finished telling the story, and he's speaking to the man. Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Now, I don't really know what this guy was trying to do as he began to ask Jesus these questions. I don't know how he was trying to trick him or how he was trying to, you know, test him. But I do know this. I know that at this point, the guy all of a sudden realized that this was a serious issue. That your neighbor was not just someone that you're friends with. not just someone that you're buddies with, someone that, you know, there are people that you don't mind giving them a hand, and you don't mind helping them, because you know that if you're in the same situation, they're probably going to give you a hand too. But it's a totally different situation when you offer a hand or when you decide to help somebody and you know for a fact that there's no way they're ever going to do anything for you. As a matter of fact, if we had to assign homework assignments, I would say everybody go out and find somebody that you can do something for that you know that person is not going to do something back. Maybe right now you're thinking of somebody, and maybe you're thinking, oh, that person's not going to do something nice for me back because that person doesn't like me. But the fact is, that person is your neighbor, according to Jesus' definition here. It's a person that's in need. A person that you see and you know that there's a problem. You have that feeling of compassion, but now it's time to act. And that brings me to my next point. You got to do it. It's not enough just to know. It's not enough just to feel. You got to do it. Proverbs 21, verse 3. It says, living right before God and justice with our neighbors mean far more to God than religious performance. Isn't that a powerful verse? Living right before God and justice with our neighbors mean far more to God than religious performance. You hear that? God is basically saying, you can say you love me all you want. You can learn as much as you possibly can. And by the way, that's not a bad thing. We want you to know as much as you can about God. We want you to learn and know God as intently as you can. But the fact is, if that's all you do, and you never go out and do something about it. 1 Samuel chapter 15, I want to kind of give a little behind the scenes on this one. God had told Saul to fight this army, okay? He was going into battle, and he said, don't take any spoil. I'm going to give you the victory, but I don't want you to bring anything home with you. And so Saul goes, and he fights this battle, but he brings some stuff back. He brings, I think, some sheep and some cattle, some livestock. And so Samuel, the prophet, comes on the scene, and he tells Saul, hey, what's that noise I hear in the distance? I hear the bleating of sheep. Did you bring some stuff back with you? God said, you know, don't bring anything back with you. And Saul says, oh, yeah, I did, but here's the reason I did that. I brought this livestock back because I'm going to make a sacrifice to God because he gave me the victory. And listen to Samuel's reply to him. What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifice or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. You know, I think sometimes in life we have this checklist in our minds and we go and do something that we know God wants us to do and we just check it off and it's like, we're done with that and we just move on. And we consider that our sacrifice or our offering to God. But you know what God is saying? I don't want you just to come and offer me a sacrifice. I want you to do what I'm telling you to do. I want you to go out and make a difference in the lives of other people. I want you to see that person that's homeless and that's needy. I want you to see that person as your neighbor, as a person that's in need, as a person that it's your job, you're assigned to them. You've got to do something about it. James chapter 1, verses 22, 24. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. It would be like checking the mirror right before you leave the house and noticing that you have some mustard on your face and thinking, man, I need to take care of that. And the minute you turn away, you forget about it. And you go off into public. If you listen to God's word, but you're not doing what God says, it's just like you're ignoring the truth. It's staring you right in the face. But the minute you turn away, you've forgotten. It's all gone. You've got to do it. Have you ever known someone that was all talk? I had a good friend. His name was Josh, and went to college with him. And we used to go to the weight room, and I've told plenty of weight room stories because one of my roommates was Mark. He's a missionary now, and some of you have met him. But Mark was like this bodybuilder dude. in college, okay? Well, pretty much I think his whole life, but anyway. But because I was his roommate for a while, I had to become the bodybuilder too, right? It wasn't something that he could do by himself, and he had to make sure that I was so I would go down there, and I used to love going down to the gym with Mark, because when he would be lifting like on his highest rep or on his heaviest weight, then I would try to make jokes, right? Just try to get him to laugh. But anyway, we had this friend Josh, and he would come down to the weight room, and Josh was always telling us how much he could lift. He was always telling us, oh yeah, you know, I bench 275, or he was always telling us what he could do. I don't think I ever saw the dude pick up a weight. He would go out to eat with us, you know, we'd go work out, work up an appetite, and we'd all go out to eat somewhere, and he'd be like, man, I'm hungry. Man, what did you do? You were just standing there telling us about how many reps you could do. You know, when someone is all talk, you kind of just start to develop this attitude towards them. And pretty soon you're just like, yeah, I know, I've heard that. And you just kind of dismiss it. It's like it has no meaning at some point. And I think sometimes the world will look at someone that would call themselves a believer or call themselves someone that follows after God. And they'd be like, you know, that's all talk. I hear you say it. I hear what you're saying. But I don't see you doing anything. And so what you're saying is becoming quieter and quieter. And pretty soon you don't have an audience. See, it's not enough just to know. It's not enough just to have that knowledge in your mind. And it's not enough just to have those feelings of compassion. Let me tell you, if it was enough to have feelings of compassion, we would all be set. Because at some point or another, we all get that sad feeling when we see a lost puppy dog. But it's not enough just to feel. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. Don't just listen to God. You've got to go out and actually do what God says. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I want to just close our time together, but just in this moment, we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and I want you to do something. I want you to end your mind, because you probably know somebody. Probably know somebody right now who Jesus would say, that person is your neighbor. I know they don't live next to you. Maybe you don't really talk to that person. Maybe you've never talked to that person. But you know that person has needs. You have those feelings of compassion. Isn't it time to do something about it? That's what this whole series is about. Jesus in the margins, because Jesus came to the people that were on the outside. Jesus came to the people that were in need. And if you're sitting here today and you would say, you know, I'm not that kind of person. I don't really need anything. I've got everything I need. You're wrong. Every single one of us has needs. And our greatest need of all is our need for forgiveness. If you're here this morning and you have never asked God for forgiveness for things that you've done that are wrong, I would just encourage you, in your own words, pray a simple prayer, because it's not the words that matter, but it's the attitude of your heart. You know, Jesus paid the price for you on the cross. You've heard that. You know that He gave His life for you. He did that for one reason, so that you could have forgiveness and you could have a relationship with Him. So just in the next few seconds here, if you know in your heart that you need God's forgiveness, would you just pray a simple prayer, ask Him for that forgiveness? Closed. If you've received forgiveness from God, maybe not just this morning, but maybe you've turned your entire life over to God at some point. Now it's time to do something.
if you'd be honest with yourself and you look back in your life and you would recognize the times and the places that you just passed that person by. You just walked right by that neighbor. And Jesus came to the margins. He came for that person. Father, I pray that we would not just pass by our neighbor. God, we wouldn't just feel feelings of compassion and feelings of sympathy for someone that's in need. But I pray, God, that we would act on it. Because that's what you want us to do. Help us not just to fill our heads with knowledge of you, but help us to take the things that you've given us and go out and share those things with others. God, put a burden in our hearts for that. Thank you, Father, for loving us. I pray all this in Jesus' name.